Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
We have played a lot of bad songs on this show. That is the worst of our song. That makes Hooray Ames sound like Taylor Swift.
Russ Gellinger.
This is brutal. I'm like, I've got Phil Steele in front of me. I'm like, you know, should I really, is it worth me going to the page? No, it's not really. Give me UMass. Let's go Minutemen.
And SI's Pat Forte.
I'm not sitting here saying poor Reggie Bush. I feel so badly that the NCAA termed this pay for play instead of just saying impermissible benefits. Whatever.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod, and we welcome Ross back. He was out last show. He returns and gets right into one of our favorite things because we're vicious, mean, negative, vulture media members. Coach's hot seat. You're already firing people. We ain't even started. Don't you know, Ross, that every camp was amazing and an astounding number of leaders stepped up, and the guys worked in the weight room like never before, and the offensive coordinator is a genius, and everything's looking good. Don't you know that when you set up this, I'm going to fire you?
I'm well aware. The offense is going to be more explosive. The defense has changed the front. You know, they're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and they're going to just shut down everything. And yeah, the new strength coach has got the boys looking good.
More aggressive on defense.
We'll combine that with Pat's more passive aggressive, most intriguing list, which often is the same thing.
It's a little Pat, bit of nuance, a little nuance there.
Pat trying to be polite. I'm intrigued to see whether you'll be fired is really the issue.
There's usually some of that. Absolutely.
All right. Want to do a draft? Who's got the hottest seat? Let's do that.
Sure.
Ross, it's an easy start.
It's an easy number one pick. Neil Brown at West Virginia is certainly got, I would think, the hottest seat in America entering the 2023 season. I think the stat is, and I think Neil has lost more than seven games, but he hasn't won, I think, more than seven games. So he's been yo-yoing kind of right there in that 6-6 realm. And he's got a new athletic director, and he's going to have a new president. Gordon Gee is going to retire. So a lot of leadership changes, and, you know, usually that comes with another change at football coach if you're not doing a great enough job. His buyout, though, is around $13 million. You know, I think Ren Baker, the new AD there in the West Virginia leaders, discussed pretty seriously discussed his job last year, and kind of let him stick around for a year, so to speak. So big year for him. It feels like you got to hit that 7 or 8 win mark to stick around there.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, now in this era as well of fire early, Neil needs to have a good September or else he may not see October, I would say. And he was really feisty at Big 12 Media Day about how good he thinks they're going to be, much better. He was mad they were picked last. He said, we're going to show you. But tell you what, he opens at Penn State. They got Pitt in the backyard brawl in game 3. That might be it right there. If he loses to both those two, you never know. They got Texas Tech, which a lot of people think could win the Big 12, and at TCU. That's a really, really challenging September for Neil Brown. I'm going to go.
Hold on. How much money will it take to ride off into the sunset of that little PRT, the little personal rapid train? If you get fired from there, do you board the train at the morgue, at the stadium thing and just drive off into nowhere, wherever that train runs?
Drive off to downtown Morgantown, just wave, 4 minutes away?
Just wave away. You can find me a quarter mile down the road. Country roads take me home. on my personal rapid transit. He's, they're going to run off to the Chestnut Brew Brewery that sent me beer. I got beer sent
there
to me.
There you go. So
I need to get a plug in. Sorry. This was all just a ploy.
Of course.
Get a plug in.
I saw you shilling. Have you sampled the beer yet?
I did. It was excellent. Okay. It was excellent. So much appreciation to the guys at Metro News Sportsline and all that. Anyway, on to your next thing. That's what I'm most intrigued about, Pat. How do you get fired at Morgantown? It's like a mob hit. They meet me at the station.
The dude brings the musket and takes aim at you, the Mountaineer. I mean, you better run. Hit the hills.
Shooting squad.
All right. Who else getting fired?
I have the next pick. Or do you want it, Dan? Okay.
No, you can have it. Go ahead. I'm nice. I don't want to fire anybody.
Yeah.
Sure.
Boston College, Jeff Hafley. Things have they started off. He was at least able to maintain BC's resolute mediocrity for a couple of years. They were 6-5, 6-6. Last year, they slid to 3-9. They were last in the Atlantic Division. His ACC record the last 2 years is 4-12. And, you know, BC isn't one of those cutthroat kind of places where, you know, they'll whack you after two seasons or three or whatever. But after four, if it's declining returns, and I don't think anybody looks at this BC team and says, yeah, they're going to be good. If I were Jeff Hafley, I would be nervous. I'm looking at the schedule here now, how they start out. Northern Illinois, Holy Cross, they got a chance right there to be 2-0. Then they bring in Florida State, and then they're at Louisville. I would imagine he's going to be 2-2 at that point, and then we'll see a lot of jump balls after that. They've also got the easiest non-conference schedule in the entire Power Five. They play no Power Five opponents out of conference. They play Northern Illinois, Holy Cross, Army, and UConn. That should give him a chance to get to somewhere near bowl eligibility.
It's falling on tough times. It's a tough place to go and do it. They got decimated on the offensive line last year with injuries. So maybe they can improve that. But that schedule is set up for some wins. So we'll see. We'll see what the appetite is at Boston College. Not the hair trigger. Hair trigger.
Yeah.
Not the hair triggers up there. I'm going to go. I don't know how we don't know how hot this is. It depends on multiple factors, but I consider Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M to be most intriguing. Mm. And I feel like his fate is tied with the fate of whatever Steve Sarkisian is doing over at Texas. And because if Texas has a huge year and they're coming in the SEC, then I feel like they're going to get real twitchy if they're not doing real well over at A&M. So I think if Texas doesn't have as good of a year, maybe they feel a little better about themselves. It's like Bama Rush, right? Mm-hmm. You got to really, what are the other prospective new members and all that. But $70 million buyout, which would presumably be a problem, but there's somebody down in Texas owns an air conditioning empire that's just killing it this summer. And he'll peel that off real quick and take care of that. So I consider A&M's got to do better. You can't keep losing five games. I think, you know, there's just a lot there. At Miami, there's the Arkansas game. Could be tricky. Followed the week later by Bama coming to town. Then Tennessee. Then they visit Tennessee. Then they're at South Carolina. Then they're at Mississippi, then Mississippi State, and they close with LSU. There's a path there to a really, really good season. There's also a path there to a whole bunch of it snowballs the wrong way. So I think Jimbo Fisher is going to be super intriguing. Bobby Petrino, maybe not calling plays. A lot of drama.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the most intriguing teams, just given the staff situation for sure.
Yeah, how do the alpha male play callers Jimbo and Bobby coexist? And I mean, they can both do the job and do it well. So maybe it works out great, and your offense is a lot better. You know, they brought in that monster recruiting class last year. Some guys made an impact. Some guys were problems, and they're a year older, more mature. They should be better this year. But, I mean, this is part of what we're basically numb to it in college footballs. We're talking about a $70 million buyout, and it's like, yeah, maybe they'll do it, which is so incredibly ludicrous. And that's why the television contracts are so important, so that people who wildly mismanage their money and overpay can then afford to erase their mistakes. That's what this is about to a large degree in terms of just profligate spending. And if A&M does it, fine. But I mean, it's just, it's astounding. We've come to say, you know, 20 million, 30 million, 70 million. Fine.
Yeah. This is paid for off the backs of Washington State going, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Well, there's also all the assistant coaches contracts. Now everybody's getting 2-year deals on those. And, the buyouts are enormous. The mistakes. College athletics has plenty of money to run football teams. It's about having more money than the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not about spending enough money to have a football team. It's about spending more than the other guy. And so that's where we're at. So Jimbo, we'll see.
Dan, I thought you were you led off that talking about Jimbo by saying Jimbo's future is tied to, and you said Texas, and I thought you were going to say, the price of oil per barrel. The $70 million, is a lot, and obviously they have a lot of oil money down there. There's a sense, it depends on who you talk to, whether they believe that A&M will pay that, or would they? They would certainly try to get into some to try to settle. I would guess, for 2/3 of that or something like that. I'm sure, but I don't know that Jimbo Fisher would take anything less than what he is owed. So definitely one of the more intriguing things to watch. Okay, I got the next pick. Or are we snaking it?
Yeah, round two. You go. Right.
I'm going to go. We're going to drop down to the old G5 level. And give me a former P5 coach. Butch Jones at Arkansas State is on year three. He's won 5 games. They went 2-10 and 3-9. A 2-4 in the Sun Belt his 2 years, and really needs a bowl year here. You know, really needs to show progress and have a bowl year of some sort. I think the expectation from a lot of people within the industry is that he's on his final season, but you never know. Maybe he'll turn it around and have a good year. I think his buyout is around $1 million, so not 70 million. So give me Butch Jones at Arky State.
That's a prime job, prime Group of Five job. So
yeah, brick by brick has been replaced by loss by loss. Butch, his record's terrible. I'm also going G5 here, second round. Danny Gonzalez, New Mexico. Look, that's a really hard job, but he's not doing well at the hard job. 7-24 overall, 3-20 in the Mountain West, 1-7 in league play in 21, 0-8 in league play in 22. I mean, even at New Mexico, a place that I think they acknowledge it's hard to win, you got to do better than that. And as a matter of fact, they were not close in most of their losses. Matter of fact, in none of their losses. Lost by 17, 38, 11, 13, 12, 32. 17, 32, 24, and 17. Not good.
When the fifth pick is the New Mexico coach, it tells me no one's getting fired.
Well, it's going to be a light year.
It's not obvious. Yeah, it's not obvious.
Not that many people knew New Mexico had a coach.
Come on, Lobos?
Lobos. I'll finish this. Tom Allen, Indiana. Did some solid work the first, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But 6-18 since last 2 years. Purdue's got a little juice. The Big Ten's getting more and more serious. They got money. People will take that job. Although it's not easy. I don't know what the expectations are, but you got to do better than 6-18. And so that would be mine, would be Tom Allen. Well, let's move on to Pat. Maybe you can just do who you have three, four different lists of who's most intriguing. Who is the single most intriguing person to you in college football right now?
Deion Sanders. Really not even close. I mean, we've never seen a program makeover quite like what Coach Prime has done at Colorado. We've rarely, if ever, seen a hire like Colorado made of Deion. Coming from FCS, HBCU, Jackson State, to a place where there was absolutely almost no interest in football at that point he arrived, and boom, there's now interest. There's major curiosity. Remade the roster unlike anything we've ever seen. 46 incoming transfers, 41 outgoing transfers just since the start of spring practice. And Coach Prime, with his personality, he brought in his son as the quarterback. He brought in he's got a two-way star who was the number one recruit in the country in 2021. And they open with TCU, playoff team from last year, and then they play Nebraska. So they have a couple very high-profile games to start his tenure there. I don't expect him to be that good, but I sure am curious to see. Can't wait to see Colorado, which has been a long time since I've said that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Huge ticket sales there. That alone is cool. Also, I just read Mississippi State sold out their full allotment, I think, for the first time, or maybe it's the highest allotment that they've ever sold out at this much. So a lot of excitement around that program.
Tell you what, that's Mississippi State, if you go back and look, at least paid attendance, I don't know about actual butts in seats, they've done well for many years under many coaches. And
well, I think
they've been pretty competitive on the field, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're very competitive, but I think they just said there was something I saw. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it, too.
I think next year is the year when fans will revolt and no longer watch because of NIL. Maybe it's going to be next year.
Year four.
We were told it would be immediate. Yeah. Maybe next year. We'll see. Maybe someone will tune in this weekend. All right. I don't know. Ross, do you have a most intriguing anybody?
Well, we talked about it a little bit, like, you know, the most intriguing program certainly is A&M, and I think the most intriguing guy to watch is Bobby Petrino. I mean, he's kind of back in the big time, so to speak. And, you know, everything I kind of hear from inside the A&M program is pretty positive, which isn't a surprise because it's coming from people who are inside the A&M program. But they do say that things are meshing well, and Bobby and Jimbo seem to be getting along, and you know, I just, my response to that is, let's wait until it's 3rd and 6 and you're down by 3 at Miami in the third quarter. What's going to happen then? You know, what does Jimbo take away the play calling duties, and after that happens, what transpires? So I'll be interested to watch that. The thing is I really actually, you know, and Pat said this, they're really talented, and I actually expect them to have a good year, but I think Bobby Petrino is to me one of the more intriguing people of 2023 in college football.
So I wrote the other day the intriguing Marcus Freeman. Where are we going with this? How good could Notre Dame be? Could they be the spoiler this year? Could they be a playoff team? Is this the guy long term? Is it not? What's going on in Notre Dame? So I won't repeat that. You can go back to the last episode and listen if you missed it. I'm going to go with Caleb Williams at USC, returning Heisman Trophy winner. Does he continue to develop and become the number one overall pick? Does he lead USC to the playoff, which they were unable to do last year? Does he continue that transition of getting that program 100% back, especially as it's about to go into the Big Ten? I don't think he's going to be around for that. And finally, does he break the Fansville jinx? This is our new Dr. Pepper, Mr. Dr. Pepper, which in lieu of the he would have been on the video game if they made that. But he becomes the third consecutive Heisman Trophy winner to appear in the commercial.
Wait. No, it was DJ Uiagalelei who did.
Oh, he didn't win the Heisman. I'm sorry.
No.
Bryce Young, second consecutive.
Yep.
My bad. DJ will take the tr- We'll get to a missing Heisman in a DJ. Second.
He'd probably take it.
Yeah, he can get Reggie Bush's that's kicking around somewhere. So we'll get to that in a sec. But yeah, he follows DJ and Bryce Young. So Pat, what's the word here on this? You broke this important news. Sources.
My source was Caleb Williams and Dr. Pepper. How about that?
Sources so, deep within inside Fansville, the city.
You are yeah. really.
Wasn't, sure, that, wasn't sure Fansville the one where was, Les Miles, wasn't Les Miles in Fansville at some point, and he was like on the roof of something? Do you guys remember this? It was the most ridiculous scene ever. But he was on the roof and he's making some weird face, typical Les Miles. That was a few years ago. Anyway, tangent.
I don't remember that.
Sheriff Boswell will be on this. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Bosworth.
Les should have been in it. I'll say that. It's really good commercials. They are good.
Yeah,
I still think they should hire me for a couple. I still do.
But I like the transfer portal.
Yep, right. Transfer portal,
the wave. I mean, they're clever. I mean, even down to the details, they had the one last year where they were trying to watch a game on streaming and they're like, who has the password? You know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just like,
it
was a very real fan experience. So anyhow.
Sorry, hold on. Google Les Miles Fansville. People who are listening. And yes, he's on there. I think he's a mechanic.
I believe
he looks like a mechanic or a hardware store worker. And, you know, he's making the typical goofy faces. And there's one scene where he is on the top of a building and he has stolen, I assume, the national championship trophy, which is with him as he's making some weird smirking face.
Well, he won one, didn't he? He
did. Yeah.
Maybe that's his. Yeah, he was a mechanic. That's right. He did have a hardware store.
A hardware store. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 2007, the undefeated in regulation, LSU.
That's right. Yeah, that was a BCS trophy.
Yeah.
Not the playoff. Yeah. But yeah, the great marketing campaign, undefeated in regulation. Those two overtime losses didn't count. good.
Yeah. Anyway, Caleb is fighting the Fansville jinx. DJ was the original NIL player on the commercials and then promptly had a really struggling season. His first year as a full starter at Clemson, and now, of course, he's at Oregon State. And then Bryce Young last year. Bryce Young had a fine season, but Alabama didn't. Lost two games, only the second time they'd done that since, like, 2010 and in the regular season. And obviously didn't make the playoff, didn't make the SEC championship game. We'll see if Caleb can defeat that jinx. He says he thinks they're high-powered on both sides of the ball, which would be a distinct change on the defensive side. They were very low-powered, not very physical last year. They upgraded, brought in like a whole new defensive line basically via the portal. Lincoln Riley's done a lot of work there. But, I mean, Caleb Williams was so fun to watch, and I've had some people say that they think he's the surest thing NFL QB prospect since Trevor Lawrence, and maybe even better than Trevor Lawrence. We'll see how it turns out, but I think that he is, unless this season really goes off the rails, I think he's going to be the landslide number one, or either he goes off the rails or Drake May plays out of his mind. But I think Caleb Williams is the player to watch again this year.
We'll be right back after this. All right, speaking of USC star players, Reggie Bush, known for his work in the Wendy's commercials. Excellent work. I think they gave him like a fake. They made a Heisman joke last year in that during his stint in that recurring role. We're big fans of the commercials here at the College Football Choir because they show them over and over and over. Mm. Reggie is going to file a defamation lawsuit, or already has Wednesday. It has not been filed at typing here, against the NCAA. The lawsuit, and it's part of his attempt to get his Heisman back. But this part is pretty interesting. The lawsuit is based on the NCAA maliciously attacking his character through a completely false and highly offensive statement that was widely reported in the media and substantially and irreparably damaged his reputation, said his lawyer. The statement, it came out on July 28, 2021, and it, there was people talking about could he get, after NIL became legal, could Reggie get his his Heisman back? Now, if you remember, he's involved in various NCAA violations back when he played. The NCAA ruled him ineligible for his final season, and because he was vacated, the Heisman Trust, which is a separate entity, took back his Heisman. Now, if the, anyone had said, "I want," if the Heisman Trust says, "I want your Heisman back," I'd be like, "Come get it." But Reggie, much better person than I, handed the trophy back. But now he's saying, look, all the kids are getting everything now. Why can't I get my Heisman back? And so that was the debate, because the Heisman people threw it on the NCAA. They're like, if they put they reinstate his season, he gets his Heisman back. The statement said this. Although college athletes can now receive benefits from their names, images, and likenesses through activities like endorsements and appearances, NCAA rules still do not permit pay-for-play type arrangements. The NCAA infraction process exists to promote fairness in college sports. The rules that govern fair play are voted on, agreed to, and expected to be upheld by all NCAA members. The issue here is the pay-for-play type arrangements. I have not reviewed Reggie's case, but as I recall, he and his family received so-called extra benefits from a couple of would-be marketing executives, including housing for his parents and some various money and stuff like that, basically so they could represent him later. It was not a pay-for-play type arrangement. It was, and I'm using NCAA thinking, a corruption of his amateur status because he had cashed in. I still don't know if agents can pay players. I don't know what the rule is on that. But anyway, the NCAA misidentified this arrangement. He was never accused of a pay. Well, it doesn't say he was, it doesn't say he was accused of that. It just says NCAA rules still do not permit pay for play. This will be really parsed out. It doesn't say Reggie Bush did pay for play, but it sort of implies it. The question here is this an actual lawsuit? I don't know that Reggie's reputation was harmed by this statement. Nobody remembered it. He's in Wendy's commercials and on national television and beloved even more. Fans are almost completely on his side. Give the guy his Heisman. I think OJ has his Heisman, doesn't he? OJ still have his?
OJ does, to the best of
that was not an NCAA violation. He was never accused of an NCAA violation. Many other
many
things.
Many other violations.
Many other violations, but not NCAA. So that's where we're at. Statement was completely false and highly offensive. It seems like there's a whole bunch of like people taking words that don't really matter. I don't know. There's a lot here. I don't know who's wrong or right in terms of this lawsuit, but the overall arch is I'm going to keep putting pressure, and I'm gonna pinata the NCAA, which is a pretty good pinata. I mean, in the Q rating of Reggie Bush versus NCAA. Reggie's slightly more well thought of by the fans. Pat, what are your thoughts on this?
NCAA approval rating is lower than any president has ever been.
Yeah.
Herbert Hoover, maybe. I don't know. But no, I mean, like this to me is majoring in minors. And again, yeah, just kind of grinding an axe because I don't see like true defamation here. Maybe some imprecise wording. Okay, but malicious intent would seemingly need to be the standard for a public person like Reggie Bush, and I don't see malicious intent here from the NCAA. But still, this was a dumb statement from the NCAA. Here's what would have been the easy answer to this if somebody came to me for a statement. A, that's the Heisman Trophy situation. They can decide about that. Our rules are not retrofitted for what they are now to past violations, period, end. Goodbye. That's what I would say. You know, instead you go down the road here, open it up, and it's like all of a sudden you're editorializing about a cheeseburger. You're saying too much, say less. but I'm not sitting here saying poor Reggie Bush. I feel so badly that the NCAA termed this pay for play instead of just saying impermissible benefits, whatever.
Yeah. On this is a pretty small thing. Yeah. That he's trying to turn into a big thing, and he's focusing on the big thing by using a small thing, but it's like, go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I can't imagine this being successful, right? In court, but it is just a way for him to, I guess, air his grievances, so to speak, I guess, against the NCAA. I know how frustrated that he is, and this is, I don't know, I don't know what you guys think, but this is a debate depending on who you ask. I mean, it seems like the public seems to be swinging into the sport of give Reggie his Heisman back, when that wasn't necessarily the case just like even 8 to 10 years ago. I feel like 6 to 8 years ago that, you know, but we're seeing public support completely swing for athletes' rights and pay for play and stuff like that. So I'd imagine, you know, 70% or so of the public would believe that he should have his Heisman back.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I think you're great. Majoring in minors, it's like this. There's this mistake led to this mistake. This mistake or this rule. I don't know. Unless you get performance enhancing drugs, I don't really big on like I've never been big on the idea of vacating seasons and vacating the record book. This team didn't actually make the Sweet 16. Like, really? They were there. And I've never been big on this, like, I got to keep this guy out of the Hall of Fame. Like, these things are museums, or this is the history of the game. Like, it's the history of the game. Reggie Bush was unbelievable that season. And for the Heisman people to bend to the NCAA's rules and then pretend that they have to follow these NCAA rules, to me, is the cop-out. It's your trophy. If you want Reggie Bush to have the trophy, if you think Reggie benefited somehow performance-wise because his parents were living in a house rent-free in San Diego, or they got a little, they got a couch, or there was some money, okay. I don't think that was it. But unless it's PEDs, I don't know why we sit there and pretend Reggie Bush wasn't the best player in the country that year.
Well, so, I mean, a friend of mine,
the rules were the rules though.
Huh. Yeah. A friend of mine likes to call the Heisman Trophy the Heisman Peace Prize, like the Nobel, like we've conflated it with this, some superior character or whatever. And a lot of the Heisman winners have had quite high character. But when you start going down that road, you get into a very kind of complicated, tricky sort of calculus. Well, this person was a good person. Oh, wait, but that person wasn't a good person. They broke the NCAA rules, And again, to your point, I mean, O.J. Simpson still has his trophy. I mean, do we really want to do that? But the Heisman has really kind of, perhaps by its own doing, perhaps by other people's doing, elevated itself to try to mean more than actual good football player.
Yeah, OJ's a good example. Like, I wouldn't take OJ's. He was awesome. I don't know. I don't remember the season, but guy could play football. Yeah. Things went awry. Yeah. It still happened.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with anything. Like, whatever. Right. He was. Yeah. Look, we're laughing last week about the Heisman ceremony of Johnny Manziel looking coked out at the Heisman's thing next to Manti Te'o, who he just had a resurrected girlfriend and looks like it's all going to come undone. And Colin Klein just sitting there going, what, I come in third, going back to Kansas, people going, hey, Colin, how was the weekend? Those two dudes are weird, man. They are freaked out. Like, it's the Heisman. Reggie Bush, give him his Heisman. The NCAA, it's just so complicated because everyone wants the emotional response, right? The NCAA can't just sit there and say, okay, we're now forgiving all rules, because there's going to be coaches that will immediately say, I lost a $14 million contract because you accused me of having my friend who runs the oil well buy a car for our star player. Right. And if the rules no longer apply and we're vacating all past decisions, where's my 14 million? You know, like, you can see where this is going. If they're going to sue over supposedly Reggie Bush's reputation was harmed by this ridiculous statement, when clearly it is not. He's more popular than ever, and he's on national TV and a national spokesman. And there's no way they're going to be able to prove that any harm. Then what are these guys going to sue? I mean, they will be buried. They can't go back. You can't go back then and say, oh, all the rules didn't exist. At the time, that was the rule. Mm-hmm. That was the rule. We've now changed that rule. But so I think this is on the Heisman Trust to give Reggie Bush his trophy back.
Exactly. Go talk to the Heisman people. Leave the NCAA out of it and tell the NCAA to be quiet.
NCAA is not gonna do much. All right. Another interesting story on an NCAA situation, or I don't know what. Jaden Rashada, the trials and tribulations of Jaden Rashada. Pittsburgh, California, four-star recruit, class of 2023, famously commits to the University of Florida. It is later revealed that he was had a deal, even a contract, with this outfit called the Gator Collective. This was all last winter. We covered it extensively because it's pretty wild. The Gator Collective was trying to pretend that it was a well-financed operation that was aiding Florida recruiting. They seem to be really the answer to the John Ruiz Miami life wallet, which has also already hit hard times,
yeah,
to say the least. Yeah. It was quite a battle of geniuses here. Anyway, the Gator Collective told the Rashada family they'd pay him $13.8 million over 4 years to play at Florida. $13.8 million. By comparison, Will Levis, the Kentucky star, who's the 33rd pick of the NFL draft, just signed a 4-year deal with the Titans worth $9.54 million. Okay. So 13.8 was a little outside the, should have raised some red flags. Sounded too good to be true. It was garbage. Rashada was supposed to receive $500,000 last December as a upfront payment. And then $250,000 a month as a freshman. Okay. That's so he,
good money.
He, yeah. Good money. Good money. He would have had $3.5 million in the first year without even knowing whether he could play. Like, you got to take that deal. I know they're shady, but you got to look into that deal. He was then going to get $291,000 as a sophomore a month, $375,000 a month as a junior, and $195,833.33 as a senior. All he had to do was sign a couple autographs and make a couple appearances. I mean, this is that first year, $3.5 million. Like, that is life-changing money. And so, yeah, you're going to listen to that. Well, it turns out it was nothing. They couldn't make the $500 payment. Rashada sours on Florida, never enrolls, ends up at Arizona State. Florida becomes a punchline. He becomes a little bit of a punchline. He becomes a cautionary tale. He becomes a political pawn. People are screaming to Congress that they got to do something because Jaden Rashada almost got tricked or thought, you know, at least explored. He didn't really do anything. He explored it, and when it didn't come through, he left. Anyway, he goes to Arizona State. He has, by all accounts, poured himself into being a very good quarterback, and earlier this week was named the day one true freshman starter for the Sun Devils, which to my point brings up that nothing bad really happened to Jaden Rashada in the global scheme of college football. Sucks for Florida. They lost their big recruit because they had some shady people representing them, but that's a Florida issue. At the end of the day, Jaden Rashada is going to be playing football in week one. So, but thoughts on this? It's a hell of a quick redemption for Jaden Rashada, I guess. I'm pretty I don't know the kid, but I'm pretty he's got to be pretty happy that rather than wallow in what did happen to him, he just went out and showed what he's capable of doing. Pat, your thoughts on this whole circle that's gone? Very, very quick story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to watch him play and see how he does. And to your point, yeah, I'm glad the scourge of NIL did not ruin him in his brief sojourn there. You were going through those numbers, and I was flashing back to thinking of Sean Miller talking about Will Wade ruining the market by overpaying for players.
Right.
That's what Florida was attempting to do or allegedly doing. So anyway, the one thing I want to see now from Jaden Rashada, and I mean, I hope he settles in at Arizona State and has a fine career at Arizona State. That's where he wants to be. He's played for three high schools. He's committed to three different colleges. A little bit of constancy and continuity in one place, and let's see how good he can be.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise. You know, usually a lot of these starting quarterback battles, competitions, whatever, there's a starter, there's a favorite, a pretty heavy favorite, and you know who almost always is going to win the job or has the lead starting the competition. In this case, I think that was Drew Prine, the Notre Dame transfer that came in. I think most people thought he was the favorite. He was going to win. This really isn't that intense of a competition.
He's had some injuries.
And he did. He had hurt his hamstring. Yeah. I think in the first or second scrimmage, fall scrimmage, he hurt his hamstring. And that kind of flipped things a little bit in give it up for, right, Jaden Rashada stepped up in, obviously stepped up in, and he obviously has talent, I don't know about $13 million of talent, but I guess we'll see soon enough.
Yeah. Arizona State has said that there's no NIL deal for him to go out there. But I guess, you know, everyone talks about how wild, wild west it is, how terrible this new era is, all this stuff. We just did two stories back to back. Reggie Bush is still stuck on a scandal under the old rules. Jaden Rashada was able to shake it off. Like Reggie Bush got hooked up with some less than reputable guys who were trying to get him to be to get a deal with Reggie Bush because of who he was. And Reggie Bush is what, in his late 30s now? He's still he's still getting dragged down by this thing. He's still holding press conferences and suing. Jaden Rashada got involved with some shady guys who tried to cash in on him and help him, and it didn't work out. And he just said, okay, I'm out. And now he's playing football. You can run to Congress and say, this guy is the example of how we got to have guardrails. We got to have protections. We got to have the protection is the freedom to do what he wants to do. The protection is the lack of guardrails.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden Rashada is fine. He's a starting quarterback in the league with the best quarterbacks in the whole country. And if he ever wants to go back to Florida, he can still transfer there. He could, he go somewhere else. Like, I mean, I kind of agree with you, Pat. I'd like to see him dig in. Say, look, I got Kenny Dillingham here as my coach. He's supposed to be the quarterback coach. This guy took me off the bounce and now but you don't need Congress to go. The leaders of the sport want to look backwards and they want to hold on to the past. The past was a disaster. One of the most beloved and greatest football players we've had this century is still at war with the NCAA and the Heisman. He's making mocking commercials on Wendy's. Jaden Rashada is just like, all right, I didn't get that money, but guess what? I wasn't worth that anyway. I mean, that was ridiculous. So, let's go play at Arizona State. Did that come up at Congress? Did anyone talk about this at Congress, Ross?
Soapbox, look out.
Congress is busy out erecting the guardrails. Like Senator Tuberville has a hammer and he's got some nails in his mouth. He's pulling them out, hammering them in. Setting up those guardrails.
Jaden Rashada is the reason you don't add things. I don't know. Seems like it's working out to me. All right, we promised that we would do this. We did the musical stylings of Van Halen.
Ross missed that. Oh boy,
what are y'all talking about?
These four dudes in Iowa who
that always of our comes stories. Back to Iowa.
We have a fascination on this show with Iowa, don't we?
No, they're fascinating. They're I mean, they're not for any good reason. Yeah. Not
in a disturbing way many of the times, but yeah.
But hey, you know, whatever. They four guys decided to form a band based on the persona of Hayden Fry, the great Iowa Hawkeye coach. But they also became a tribute band to Van Halen, so they named themselves Van Halen, and they have songs like Punt instead of Jump.
Yeah, I did see. Okay.
Fourth and Inches, yeah. Go Ahead and Punt, very clever, different stuff. Anyway, we promised the Pac-4 song, sad remnants of the Pac-4.
Oh, no.
The four is like the right number for a band, right? Like the Beatles were four. What do they call those guys? The Fab Four or something?
Yeah.
The Fab Four, the Beatles. This is the Ed Sullivan. This is like the Ed Sullivan. This is when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan. That was a big show, right? That was the big moment. This is like that moment for whatever the hell this band that is singing a Pac Four sad song, right?
There's Dan that new Byrne. Country. Dan Byrne is our artist.
Oh, okay. Dan Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like that new. You seen that new country guy? He just sits in his yard and sings about. Like in front of his like van, he's like great. He's soulful, man. He's soulful. He's singing. It's the big hit. We're gonna launch this. Play this song. We're launching it like that. Watch out, iTunes ratings.
I am a fan of the Big Four. Of the Big Four, I'm a fan. Washington State, Oregon State, Cal, and the Stanford Band. The Big Four has a glowing history. I'm happy and proud to say Joe Cap, John Elway, Gardner Minshew, TJ, who's mine, Jade. This fall, maybe you'll be watching Bama, Michigan, Ohio State. But I'll be tuned to the Big Four in the shadow of the Golden Gate. How could anybody look away? How could anybody not care? The Beavers and the Cougars, the Cardinal and the Golden Bears.
All right, I got to cut this. I apologize to Oliver Anthony. I apologize to Oliver Anthony, who's that guy in the woods singing. Okay, that we have played a lot of bad songs on this show. That is the worst of our songs. That makes Ray Ames sound like Taylor Swift.
If you can make a rhyme out of TJ Houshmandzadeh's name, you've done pretty well.
Gardner Minshew. That was good.
Joe Cap. I mean, come on.
In the shadow of the Golden Gate, Dan.
Our dude worked here. He worked hard to come up with that rhyme scheme.
Sad times for the big four. Is that what they're calling themselves?
That's what he's calling it.
Yeah.
Big Four, as of Wednesday morning, still wandering the wilderness, trying to figure out what they're going to be in 2024.
Yeah. This is a never-ending saga. Episode whatever we're on, or day whatever. What day are we on? We're getting close to, it's been 2 weeks, right? Has it been 3 weeks?
Oh, it's more than, we're closing in on three.
It was
August 4th when everything blew up.
Yeah, one, two, three. Golly. Yeah, we're going to make 3 weeks on Friday that this happened. So yeah, I don't really have much of an update either on it. You know, it's like it's got kind of gone quiet, and Stanford seems to be holding hostage Oregon State and Washington State as they continue to try to knock down the door of Big Ten and ACC, even though they've been told no, it seems like, repeatedly.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summation of it. And people got excited because there was a regularly scheduled ACC president's meeting on Tuesday, and then it got canceled. And what does that mean? Does that mean anything? I don't have anybody telling me it means anything. So
No.
I just don't know how long Stanford and Cal can wait and how long they can hold Oregon State and Washington State hostage like this, like you said. So, like, you know, I mean, time is ticking towards figuring out how to even schedule a season.
Your schedule.
Or all your seasons. All
right.
Your seasons and all
about
your
about to be
sports.
Less than a year. Yeah.
Six
yeah.
games. They have all those teams, all those four teams, I believe, had six games scheduled for the 2024 season. They have three games against themselves and three non-conference games right now. So that's a half of a schedule. And there's nobody available to schedule right now. I mean, they're, you know, 12 months out. There's nobody available to schedule. So, yeah, so that makes one of Stanford's options, which is independence, right, really difficult because you'd have to, I don't, you know, somebody suggested if Stanford were to do that and try to get up to like a 10 or 12 game schedule, they'd have to pay for opponents, a future opponent, potential future opponents that they're trying to schedule. They have to pay for them to get out of their games against like FCS teams, right? And to right. schedule Stanford, it's a mess.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Plus all the other sports.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, right. You play like 25, yeah. like 20 soccer games. Like it's, yeah. yeah. I don't. It's not good. All right, go back to singing. Maybe I shouldn't have made fun of the song. The poor guy's traumatized. I'm trying to be nice. I think I'm going to be nicer this year. I think
oh,
I'm going
to
be nicer.
Come on. Don't do that to the people.
All right. I'll be honest with you. The week zero, we're supposed to do Race for the Case, and we're going to, but this pod's going to go a little long because I forgot that we had to start the Race for the Case. I'm a little out of practice. I needed a scrimmage. But we're going to get to it. But I have to get to this story because we're going back to Iowa. And I just, once again, the people of Iowa have both brought me great amusement and then pulled back the curtain that much of it is a lie. They're just not honest people in Iowa.
What have they done now?
The Iowa butter cow.
Oh, yeah.
At the state fair every year, they make a cow out of butter. Okay. And this year they also made a Caitlin Clark butter Caitlin Clark. I don't even know how to say it. I don't want to say that the wrong way. I don't know. A Caitlin Clark statue made out of butter, the yeah. great Iowa basketball player. And I assumed that when you say you make a cow out of butter, they literally just make it out of butter. Now, obviously it's refrigerated and you go buy at the state fair, Iowa State Fair. They're the great musical state fair. You want corny musicals. Anyway, a live cam of the state fair. Wait a second. It says Illinois State Fair.
Is it Illinois?
Oh, wait a minute.
It was Iowa.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on.
I have to cut all that out.
Hold on. This is why I did the... Maybe I take it back. Maybe Iowa did it right. Okay, there's a picture of the Illinois State Fair butter cow.
Okay.
We have an ongoing saga. Illinois has a butter cow? Do they have a butter cow? This is terrible podcasting. Anyway, they have a mesh. They build an infrastructure in the shape of a cow, and then they slap some butter on top, like fondant. Like it's just like icing. But this might be from, see, social media said it was Iowa, but it's actually might be Illinois.
I did find the butter cow. Yeah, Illinois, Springfield, Illinois butter cow, August 9th, 2023.
They're taking it down, yeah. And you can see the mesh. Is that how Iowa's is made? Illinois is a bunch of liars then.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine Iowa's made that way, Dan. Iowa's too pure for that.
I may or may not. Have an apology coming to the people of Iowa who build the cow. I don't know.
We need info on the butter cow in Iowa now. We need
me
info.
And Reggie Bush are searching for the truth. Hey, I'm ready to vacate this. What is going on? Butter cows. Illinois one's a fraud, though. Illinois, get you're much bigger than Iowa. You should have more butter. You have more butter in Illinois than Iowa.
I am concerned, though. The butter Caitlin Clark, what if it's covering real Caitlin Clark? Has anybody seen her in the last couple of weeks?
That's a good point. She's probably been working out.
I hope she hasn't been mummified inside a thing of butter. You know?
What I always wondered if the Quad Cities would go to war and like have a. Do you want to be grouped with the other three, the other two at least on the other side? What do we got?
It's 2-on-2, right?
Bettendorf versus Davenport or something like that. I don't know. I'm now totally confused at what happened.
I think Sean just sent us a.
Yeah, he did.
Butter 2013 sculpture of Abe Lincoln?
Companion sculpture was a tribute to the Lincoln Highway.
Oh my God! It's Butter Abe Lincoln.
Butter Abe Lincoln. You'll have too much Lincoln. Too much time and too much butter on your hands.
Yeah.
All right. So I apologize to our listeners, but apparently, you guys like this stuff. Our show keeps getting more popular, and it gets worse every week. And I'm
people love the problem. Stuff. They love to see train.
I'm the
wrecks,
problem.
Dan.
It's me. But let me tell you what. I'm not falling. Accurate. At least I'm not falling. For the social media has slandered Iowa by taking the Illinois picture. Now, Iowa, all right, we're going to get to the bottom of it next week. I promise you that. But, all right, let's pick some games and get me out of the butter cow situation. I'm so confused. Butter cows. All right, race for the case. Speed round. Let's not spend a lot of time on this, all right?
Yeah, you know.
Zero.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay. Navy at Notre Dame. Not at Notre Dame. Navy versus Notre Dame. Games at in Dublin, 2:30 p.m. on NBC. Irish are giving 20.5. Pat?
Yeah, remember, right, so there was a game in, it was in Ireland where there was a beer shortage or something before? Or they, like, remember?
Oh, was I that Nebraska what, Northwestern?
I think where, like, there was a power outage, but they just gave away the beer. Right, which was actually excellently wonderful thing to do. Anyway, so I hope the same thing happens so that the Navy and Notre Dame fans can drink free beer. Give me Navy to cover for two reasons. Navy shortens games, and this will be a shorter game than ever because we've changed the clock rules. And so Notre Dame, I looked it up, has been averaging about 12 fewer plays against Navy than their other opponents for the last 3 years, the last three times they've played Navy. If you take, if you're giving them fewer plays and now the game's just going to be shorter by nature, I think it's going to be harder to run up a big score. So I am taking the midshipmen to lose by less than 20.5.
I got to say, that's pretty good damn analysis.
I know. I don't have anything.
I'm impressed.
I mean, he's got all these numbers and stats and actual reasons.
He is the Caitlin Clark butter statue of this podcast. I ain't
got nothing. Except just give me Navy also. Pat's convinced me.
That's dangerous.
Sean?
I think I'm going to go with Navy also. There might be too much shtick about Notre Dame going and playing in Dublin to open up the season. That could be a distraction. So I'll go with Navy to cover the 20.5.
He said shtick there. Shtick.
Yeah.
I was going to go Navy before, but now I'm going to take Lone Irish. I'll take it. They're going to air it out for Sam Hartman and all that. All right. Big primetime ESPN game. UMass at New Mexico State. This is fantastic. ESPN, 7 p.m. Aggies giving 6.5. Can the Minutemen go down there and get it done in Las Cruces? Ross? Just pick a team, you know.
I know.
Nobody.
This is brutal. I'm like, I've got Phil Steele in front of me. I'm like, you know, should I really? Is it worth me going to the page? No, it's not really. Give me UMass. Let's go, Minutemen.
Hey, you don't go into Las Cruces and just walk in there expecting victory, man. You go in there into the high desert. And Jerry Kill's got him going. Maybe, I wonder if it's probably going to be way too hot to wear that Serapi thing that he wore for their bowl game. But that was cool. That Jerry Kill's improved the program dramatically. Give me the Aggies. Come on, NMSU. Cover 6.5.
The number one agricultural school in the U.S. does not fail to cover. I am taking UMass. In this game.
Well, if if they can grow anything in southern New Mexico, then they really deserve to be the number one team in the country. All right, so I'm torn here. First of all, I got all, still got these Minutemen fans mad at me because they say I hate my team. I say they give us plenty of reason to not. I mean, what am I sporting? New Mexico State also once sent me whiskey. So there's that. But I actually think Jerry Kill, I'm taking him, and they could win like 9-10 games. They could win like 9 games this year. Like, keep an eye on these guys. As if you want to bet, keep an eye on New Mexico State.
Okay.
They have got a favorable schedule. The team is getting better. They got a big time coach. And I just, they got a lot of potential this year. We'll see.
That whiskey, by the way, is great. What is it? Something guns or guns up or pistol Pete, whatever. Yeah.
It was good.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good whiskey.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. They were way ahead of their time on that. So that's good. All right. So we're there. All right. Two more. We're only doing 4 this week. Ohio at San Diego State, the almost Pac-12 member. They could have been they could have been the Big Five.
They could have gotten
the song.
That's right.
The great memories. Ohio at San Diego State. San Diego State is giving 2.5, 7 p.m. on FS1. So you can toggle back and forth between Ohio at San Diego State and UMass at New Mexico State. Pat?
I'm going to take Ohio here. Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, is really good. He injured his knee late last year. He has been cleared to go. I mean, you look at his stats. His career stats are really impressive. And they've got this whole family of Rourke QBs who have played at Ohio. And so I am rolling with Curtis Rourke and the Bobcats to go into SoCal and defeat the Aztecs, a basketball school.
I'm in basketball school. I'm gonna go with San Diego State at home. Long trip for Ohio, so give me the Aztecs to cover the by field goal.
Sean? Yeah, big fan of Curtis Rourke as well. I'm going with Ohio to cover in this. I just think they're a more complete team than San Diego State right now.
I got no idea. I'll take a San Diego State. I'd like to. I'm not getting talked into Maction this early. I just Toledo be one. I'm not getting talked into Maction this early. All right, San Jose State at USC. Caleb Williams. Game is at 8 p.m. on the Pac-12 Network. I think early this week, Stuart Mandel rightly pointed out. You might want to know why the Pac-12 is falling apart. USC is on the Pac-12 network with the number 6 team in the country, and UMass and New Mexico State are on ESPN.
Yeah. That tells you
structural problems.
Perfect summation.
Yeah. Why is USC saying, I got to get out of here? Here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, even FS1, San Diego State. Anyway, 31-point spread by the Trojans, the USC Trojans, right? San Jose State's the Trojans, too, aren't they?
They are.
They're the Trojans.
No, they're okay. Spartans. Trojans. They're the Spartans.
Spartans versus Trojans. Oh,
the helmets looks the helmet thingy looks similar.
So did they ever really fight, Spartans and Trojans?
They probably did back in the day.
Probably a scrap or two, right?
Yeah.
Spears versus Ross, swords. Make a pick and then look that up. Okay, pick a team.
Well, I'd already looked it up. Anyway, okay. A pick here. Let's go. 31 is a lot of points. In San Jose State has put together some good teams, just like a few years ago. Remember they won the conference. They went like 7-1. I think they played all their games on the road. It was COVID or something. They couldn't play at home. It was a wild season. I'm going to say that they at the very end score and cover the spread. So give me Sparty, the other Sparty, the San Jose State Sparty.
Okay. Pat?
Boy, yeah, 31's a big number. But you know what? I'm gonna say that USC comes out guns blazing, that they're, you know, they got that high-powered offense going, their defense is better, and they give us a potential playoff flex statement early. They're scoring late, they're scoring early, they're not letting up. And they're going to cover the big number.
San Jose State has a really fun quarterback in Siobhan Cordero. And this game also gives me a Hawaii, Michigan, 49.5 point spread feel that Dan took last year.
I did take that and lost it. It was close, though. It was close.
So this big spread, I think, is gonna sweat out a little bit. I'm taking San Jose State.
31's nothing. 49.5, though. You got to be. It was like one time they fumbled or like Michigan almost had that. That was gutsy.
Gutsy gets you how much? How much money?
All gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
USC. I'm not going to sit here and watch this. I probably won't watch this game. But if I did, I don't want to be sitting there rooting for San Jose State. I think no Dr. Pepper jinx. Not this week. Caleb Williams gets it done. USC covers. I am worried about this clock thing. I don't know how. It's very hard to pick these early games. The transfer portal. Like, I don't. Who the heck knows?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know who's on these teams. Like San Jose State? Not even. I mean, that's tough. All right, what do we find out about Trojans versus Spartans in the ancient times?
Yeah, the Trojan War unfolded in
between them.
Unfortunately, yeah. Greek mythology. So this isn't real, but you know, maybe it's based in. It's kind of like those movies. It's just based on a true story, so maybe. But like Troy and Sparta met. Big surprise, Sparta's king waged war on Troy after his wife, I believe, left him for for some Troy person. So there was an affair going on and they waged war. And as I'm zipping through this Wikipedia page, Helen I still of don't Troy? Know exactly who won. I don't know. So. We're bringing great answers for you here on the pod. Yeah,
it's like a lot of wars. Okay, yeah. Good work.
Yeah,
it ended up in a. Let's just say it ended up in a quagmire, kind of like Vietnam or something.
I guess so. All right,
the Greeks won the Trojan War. The Greeks did.
We don't know. We don't know whether Iowa makes a real butter cow. We don't know who won the Trojan War. We don't know anything.
They won the war. They won the war over the wooden horse. That's right. They all shoved themselves in the wooden horse, you know, and wheeled it
on in this war.
Yeah. That's right. That was it. Yeah. I forgot about that.
They used the horse. Sneak attack. Right. Yeah.
Give it up for Troy.
And actually, and Vietnam didn't end in a quagmire. It actually ended in the fall of South Vietnam.
Yeah. We're really, we strive for accuracy here.
Barely. All right.
Please don't fact check this episode, people.
Yeah.
This episode is going to get vacated by the NCAA for lack of accuracy, organization, or anything interesting. I don't know. But we are watching football this weekend.
Yeah,
and you
baby.
Know you're going to be watching that Minutemen Aggie football. Game. You know you're going to tune in. Let's go. All right. Continue to subscribe. Share us on social media. Please tell your friends about us. The season is beginning. Your friends will not have as much fun on the college football season unless you listen to us, unless they listen to us. And then you can make fun of us to each other. You can just be like, these guys are idiots. And yeah, that's pretty much true. It sounds like they spent 2 minutes preparing for the show. Well, that might be accurate. Anyway, that's it. We'll be back sometime Monday. With some overreactions and whatever else is getting going. Season is here. We made it. Congratulations. We will talk to you later.